Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we experience life and spirituality. And if you're listening live today, this is April 6th, 2020. Now, if you listened to last week's show, and you're listening to this week's show, obviously, you might be saying, ah, deja vu, because we're going to be talking about the ACIM workbook lesson 109, which is, I Rest in God. This is one of my go-to lessons. It's one of my very, very favorite lessons. And quite truthfully, in this very hectic, chaotic, strifeful time in the world, this is what I go back to. And so when I did last week's show, I had told you about some of the things that were going on in my life, and I just so needed this lesson, you know, I rest in God. So I had gone through the Journey Through the Workbook, which is a series of books that Ken Wapnick wrote, where he literally talks about every single of those 365 lessons in the workbook. He does a narration on them. Now, he also did actual workshops, so you can get copies of workshops where you listen to him talking about them, but you can also read what he wrote about each of the lessons in the Journey Through the Workbook. So on last week's show, what I did is I literally read to you the pages of narrative that Ken Wapnick had written about this particular lesson. But I had also mentioned some time ago to Susan Dugan that I'd love to talk about this lesson, and she said, okay, let's do it. So I was able to catch up with her and have a discussion about Lesson 109. And so that's what we're doing on the show today. We are talking about Lesson 109, and I wanted to get her take and have her talk about what this lesson means to her, or maybe to shed some different light on it. But like I said, if you listened to last week's show and now you're listening to this one, or you might have been reading in the Power Peak and saying, okay, Lesson 109, that is sounding really familiar. So isn't that what we talked about last week? And in truth, yes, it is what we talked about last week. But in my mind, this is a lesson that truly does deserve our attention. And if it becomes one of your favorites, like it has for me, then I don't think you're going to regret that we're talking about it for 2 weeks in a row. So if you have the workbook for students, you might want to pull that off the shelf or grab it so that you can read along with us, or so that you can review it, or maybe you reviewed it this past week. Okay, before we get started today, I would like to invite you to join me over into our live group over on Facebook, where during our live shows here on 1-2 Radio, we do have an interactive page that if you haven't been there before and you want to join us over there, what you can do is you can go to 1-2radio.com. That's our website. Look on the left side of the page and you're going to see the word chat. Click on chat. That's automatically going to take you to our private page where you can ask to join the group. And our producer today is Scott Weaver, and he'll be there at the door and he'll let you in. So that's something you can do if you want to. You know, you can ask questions or you can make comments, that sort of thing. I don't usually interrupt the shows to actually address the questions in that chat room, but I will address them, you know, either during the show or after the show. Like if you have a question, like somebody last week had a question about when I mentioned the Journey Through the Workbook, said, where can I find Ken's book? Well, I get most of my materials, and this is where I know you can get it, from the Foundation for A Course in Miracles. That's www.facim.org. Now, many of the materials that we use in this hour on this show, I get from the Foundation for A Course in Miracles. They have a bookstore, basically, you know, an online bookstore. They have a real bookstore, too. It's in Henderson, Nevada, if you ever want to visit. But they sell copies of the books, the things that Ken wrote. They also sell all of the recordings of the workshops and the talks and the lectures, etc., that Ken did. Now, you can find a lot of that stuff on YouTube, too. But if you're interested in getting the Journey Through the Workbook, which I highly recommend, because you can literally get Ken's narration on every single lesson. So I do recommend it. But I also recommend that he did the same thing with, he did Journey Through the Textbook. He also did Journey Through the Manual for Teachers. So if you are an avid student of A Course in Miracles, I really do highly recommend these series of books. I don't remember how much they cost, but I know that it was pretty reasonable. But it might be something that you'd want to check out if you are a serious student, and if you really like Ken Wapnick, then you might want to check those things out. Or you might also want to check out the recordings of workshops that he did, because that's another thing that you'll often hear on this particular show. I will literally play parts of the workshops in which he was talking about certain lessons. Now, you know, of course, many of the workshops that we have listened to on the show are topical. So he'll bring in a lot of things, you know, many lessons or different parts of the text, etc. But he also did a whole series where he just goes through workbook lesson after workbook lesson. And those are very wonderful to go through that with him too. So you might want to check that out at the Foundation for A Course in Miracles.org. So www.facim.org. Okay, I think that's enough of that. And now that I see that you're coming into the chat room, I think we're ready to go. Let me do a quick introduction of Susan Dugan. Many of you are familiar with her because she's usually on the show maybe about once a month. You know, we vary that a little bit. But Susan is a teacher of A Course in Miracles in Denver, Colorado, a very devoted student and somebody that I really look up to as a mentor in terms of The Course in Miracles. She has written three books about forgiveness. Now, these books, they're based on her experience as a student of A Course in Miracles and just going through this whole process of applying the idea of forgiveness in your life. So her books are literally short essays of different experiences that she's had. I laugh so hard when I read her books because she has a way of bringing you into the story. And I recognize myself, you know, when I'm reading it, I recognize the kind of things that I do too. So I find those really easy to read and really helpful to read. And there again, you can find her books. I think if you go to Amazon.com, you can look up her books. It's Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness. Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want. And Forgiveness, The Key to Happiness. Those are her three books. Now, she also has a website where she posts a number of things that she writes, including she's done some interviews with people, many of the people that are at the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, along with a number of others. So I think that's a website that you'll want to be familiar with, too. That is www.forays.com. And Forays is FORAYS. So I'm going to post that in the chat room during the show at some point too. So forays.com, you might want to go over there and check that out because it's kind of a blog. You know, she, like I said, she links to a number of things that she has written. And I, like I said, I think she's pretty funny. I think she's delightful. So that might be something that you're interested in too. So with that, let's just get on. And I want to welcome Susan to the show today. Well, welcome, Susan. Thank you so much for being with us today. And thanks for indulging me in looking at this lesson 109, I Rest in God. We for 2 weeks in a row, really, because I did talk about it last week, too. But because it's one of my very favorite lessons, I just can't imagine that I exhausted everything there was to say. But because of that, I want to assure the audience that Susan Dugan, who is with me today, I'm going to let her do a lot of the talking because I don't want to just repeat. You guys already heard what I had to say about this lesson, or at least some things I said about this lesson. So welcome, Susan, and thank you for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, well, thanks. And so where does 109 fit into your repertoire or in terms of your favorites list?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I remember the lesson, but it's not one, you know, a go-to for me, which I thought was curious. I did read it. I've read it twice now. I read it last night and I read it earlier in the week, and it's beautiful and so, you know, apropos to what's going on right now. I mean, I think we're all just craving some rest and respite from what seems to be going on, you know, with our, with the coronavirus and with, just, you know, everything, the out of control feeling that we all have probably about our lives at this time, our seeming lives here. And, you know, we're, people are challenged in so many ways, physically, emotionally, economically right now, and there's so much uncertainty. So I think this is a wonderful, wonderful lesson to turn to. In fact, I think I will use it as a meditation at the end of my class, my Tuesday night class tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, but it was really, I read it last night, and it's such a comforting reminder that this is not all what seems to be so threatened here, our bodies and our lives and, oh my gosh, our livelihoods and watching the sort of, I've actually cut myself off completely I rarely watch TV news, but even NPR, it's more than I can handle at the moment. So, it's not like you don't keep up. I get all of the summary news things. And so we're all aware of what's happening, even if we're not actively, some people feel more in control when they're listening to it all the time. I just find that I find it overwhelming personally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also just so, emotionally I get, it's hard not to really, feel so badly for people and to feel the fear, So anyway, I guess for this, what I was curious about was you had told me, that you had that this is your one. I do remember you saying that it was one of your favorite lessons, and I kind of wondered what in the middle of all of this for you is happening with that, and also whatever challenges that you had mentioned, some of the challenges that made you turn to this lesson. Mm-hmm. We can read through it and discuss it.
Okay. And yeah, just to address what you were saying, I think this is my go-to lesson.
I
go to this lesson more often than anything else, or rather I go to the idea of the lesson. Even mm-hmm. if I don't quite go to the lesson, I go to the idea of it. And I would remind you too that I think, it must just be where my mind goes, because I've also mentioned to you before that in the entire text, even though there are so many beautiful things, the mm-hmm. one line in the text that once again I always go to, and I would have to say it's my very favorite, and that is the very beginning of chapter 15. Chapter 15 is the holy instant. Mm-hmm. And the very first line is, can you imagine what it means to have no cares, no worries, no anxieties, but merely to be perfectly calm and quiet all the time? Yet this is what time is for, to learn just that and nothing more. Mm-hmm. And my first reading of the text, I had literally a palpable response to hearing that line.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I was really taking that question in. Can you imagine what it feels like to have no cares, no worries, no anxieties? And I said to myself, no, frankly, I can't.
Right.
But yeah. I so want
I
to.
I want to.
I want to. So when I got to lesson 109, to me, I think that was kind of the same thing. It was saying, this is how you get there. This is how you can be in that instant, that holy instant, and have no cares, no worries, no anxieties.
Right.
And I, for me personally, I so strive to be in that place. And so I think I told you this, but maybe I didn't. I know I told the audience last week that what had happened to me, not only just everything going on in the world and the coronavirus, et cetera, but in the midst of this, just like a month or so ago, about 6 weeks ago, my hot water heater went out. Okay, you deal with it. You get it fixed, et cetera. But I don't know if you do this, but I kind of say, okay, that was my thing for the year, right? Okay, whatever.
No, I don't say that anymore.
Whoever's in charge of that, okay, I got the hot water heater fixed. Well, two weeks ago now, what had happened is I went to the freezer to get some ice, and all the ice was melted. And so, of course, a quick assessment, the refrigerator was going out. And so the things in the refrigerator were cool instead of cold, and the things in the freezer were cold but not frozen. And it was one of those things, like when you talk about people watching the news and is it better or worse? I mean, I just freaked out. I mean, I just like, I can't deal with this. You know, too much is going on. And how could I live without a refrigerator? I mean, I would be embarrassed if anybody saw me because I was just freaking out over the refrigerator. And so, of course, after freaking out, you know, one of the things I did, I took my dogs for a walk. And when I got home, I pulled Lesson 109 off the shelf because to me, it's like, I know that. To me, that's part of my spiritual toolbox. And so I certainly can say, okay, Jesus, I want to see this another way. But to me, it's like, I need Lesson 109.
Right.
And so
right.
I go and I listen, and it has that same palpable
calming
response.
Yeah.
It just has a calming influence on me. And so I said, never get too far away from this lesson. You've just got to keep this in your head. It is possible for you to find sanctuary. It is possible for you to find rest. And even more than that, I think what I so love about this is it says, and for every moment that you're willing to do this, you're actually creating that rest in the whole sonship.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, even that, you're just going, okay, everybody, it's going to be okay.
Right.
I can't tell you how, I can't tell you why, I can't promise you the particulars, the matter, how things work out on a physical level, but I can tell you we're all in this together and we can somehow figure this out and we can rest in God. And so that's what kind of what happened. And so now I'm just like almost every morning reading this lesson and just going, don't get too far away from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I will admit, I'm kind of addicted to the news. I guess maybe it makes me feel a little more in control if I know what's going on. Yeah. But on the other hand, sometimes, once again, I just shut it off and I go read, you know, either this lesson or something else. And that's it. I just need to introduce some other idea into my head without going into denial, you know, and saying, okay, this is not happening in the world.
Right.
Yes, this is happening. You know, we created the world as an attack on God. And obviously, I don't always understand what that really means.
Except it didn't really happen.
Yeah, but I did create this world as an attack on my peace. There's no doubt about that.
Attack on our, I mean, we wanted to believe that happened. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So in any case, that's where 109 just kind of came right up in my face when I was kind of freaking out and didn't know where else to go. You know,
In fact, kind of like, Lesson 182 is kind of like that for me. You know, I will be still an instant and go home.
Mm-hmm.
But really they're the same. I mean, you know, at least in that, the titles of them for sure, they're really are talking about that, you know, that implying that we have at our disposal the holy instant. And I was thinking, actually when I was reading this lesson, the text that came to me was the, when he talks about the quiet center in I need to do nothing section of the text. And, you know, it's really that quiet center of the mind that when we find ourselves panicking, when we find ourselves in, you know, fear that, you rest in God, and this is in paragraph 4, and while the world is torn by winds of hate, your rest remains completely undisturbed, you know? So it's really this, you know, when we find ourselves in fear, in extreme worry and anxiety, and, you know, this virus that we're all, and the uncertainty of it that we're all facing right now, is a perfect example of what seems to be externally the trigger for why we're feeling like this, right? It's what certainly attributing the cause of it. And within the world, you know, the laws of the world, and it adds up. It's, you know, for sure you're going to be upset by this. You know, it's almost impossible to deny this one.
Right.
Because it's everywhere. It's affected all of our routines. It's affected our, you know, again, our jobs, our relationships, our physical and emotional bodies, you know, that of our loved ones, what we relied on for, you know, where we thought our safety was in so many ways. And so this is a great time to really kind of apply that idea that, you know, there is no real safety in the world. And we aren't in denial about that most of the time, but there is safety and you know, real healing in the mind. And that's really the only place where the healing can happen. That is undisturbable. You know, that remains that peace, that respite, that rest, that comfort, that cradle of our one mind, you know, which really in the course, it's using the word God here, but you know, the intermediary, we're really too frightened of God to go there directly. You know, that's a, God is for most of us has a lot of baggage attached to it still. So we have the symbol of Jesus or Holy Spirit. That's sort of our, you know, guide and our friend and our, it's portrayed as this older loving brother that does know where our safety lies and does remember that, you know, we never really separated from God and we don't have to be, you know, we're not really just these fragile, vulnerable bodies. And so, you know, when we find ourselves in that kind of panic and fear, we can always rest, you know, we can move into that quiet center. We can choose to go above the battleground is another analogy that the Course uses. But, you know, we can join with Jesus and be in a place that really is completely safe and undisturbed by all of the you know, the amazingly high threat level that we seem to be experiencing, right? Mm-hmm. And we can really rest. I mean, that's when you can breathe again. That's when you can, you know, the need to know how this is going to work out that we're all struggling, grasping at, falls away when we really identify with our true safety, our true self, our home, you know, mm-hmm. in the mind. Yeah.
Well, and in one of the paragraphs, I'm trying to, let's see which one it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll read 5. Mm-hmm. It starts with, in him you have no cares, no concerns, no burdens, no anxiety, no pain, no fear of future, and no past regrets. In timelessness you rest, while time goes by without its touch upon you, for your rest can never change in any way at all. You rest today, and as you close your eyes, sink into stillness. Mm. Let these periods of rest and respite reassure your mind that all of its frantic fantasies were but the dreams of fever. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Dreams of fever that has passed away. Let us be still and thankfully accept its healing. No more fearful dreams will come now that you rest in God. Take time today to slip away from dreams and into peace. Now, one of the things I like is at the very beginning when it says in timeless, or that you will have no burdens, no anxiety, no pain, no fear of future and past regrets. Because, you know, I'm trying to remember if it's in somewhere in some of the other lessons they're talking it, or maybe it's in the text where they talk about one of the reasons we're never in the present moment is because we're always living in fear. Right. Of what we think we did in the past, so past regrets, and how that is going to impact the future. Right. You know, in other words, waiting for that other foot to land, so to speak, or, right. You know, whatever's going to happen. We are obsessed with what we think we did in the past and how that's we're going to be punished in the future. And so when it says, in timelessness, you rest. Right. You know, you just come, and when you can just stop yourself and go, okay, we're not going forwards, we're not going backwards, we're just going to sit here in timelessness and rest.
Right, and that's really kind of a retreat into Jesus's awareness. Uh-huh. It's not our regular awareness, you know. Mm-hmm. So it must be that we're connecting with a part of our mind that really knows that timelessness, you know, that is outside this world, right?
Uh huh.
So it's not attached to time and space. It's not, as you were saying, the idea of past in the Course is always a outpicturing of the belief in sin, you know, that we really did sin against God. You know, we separated from God and we called it sin. It really happened. And now we made up the idea that we have to be afraid because we deserve punishment, you know, mm-hmm. and we're always dreading the future because we know that we have the punishment coming. I mean, we built into the system of believing that we're mortal bodies, a built-in punishment. You know, we can be wiped out at any moment. Our bodies are very vulnerable. And even if we and under the best case scenario, we die, right? We have, and usually painfully in some way. Mm-hmm. So that's, forget about all the other pain that we seem to have to endure as we go through this as a result of what we did. No, we don't remember. We deliberately forgot that we made up the cause of this, why we believe this, but we do believe it. And there's always that when something like this happens, even when something happens in our personal lives, like something terrible, upsetting and seemingly threatening, in a relationship or with our bodies or with the bodies of someone that we love, then we feel like, oh, here it comes. We kind of feel that we have it coming. And, it's interesting. I hear so many people, and this is what we do constantly, comparing, again, that hierarchy of illusions, comparing, well, at least I'm not, sick, or at least I'm not a healthcare worker, or at least I'm not, There's this idea that some are suffering more than others in this, and we try to draw comfort from that idea, which the Course, Jesus points out repeatedly, is just a ridiculously unkind thought,
Yes.
Because suffering is suffering, there isn't, and really there's, I mean, there really is no way to measure how anyone else is suffering or coping with anything, in this world. Again, the pain is not something measurable, and from the Course's perspective, there's no hierarchy of illusions. If we are either completely insane when we've chosen the ego, and we believe that we're these vulnerable bodies, that are always trying to prove that we exist separately from God, but it's not our fault. It's someone else's or the situation's fault that I'm upset, that I'm reactive, that I'm damaged, which, that I'm in peril right now in some way. We're always trying to kind of alleviate the guilt that we feel by seeing it, somewhere else where it isn't. And that maybe that is only kind of a little bit of relief, because we still, no one's innocent here. Everybody has it coming, right?
Right.
So there's no way out except when we really see that this is not working at all. It doesn't work. And, we have to, we're in school. That beginning awareness is what brings us to the Course, that there has to be another way of living here, that something about this is insane. But the deepening way, as we embark on the spiritual journey, and with any spiritual journey, but particularly in this case with the Course, is that we really, we have to begin to use our lives as a classroom, and to use all the time, all the experiences of being worried, anxious, fearful, angry, all of the emotional responses we have to what seems to be happening to us in the world. We have to begin to be giving those a different purpose, instead of rooting us more deeply in the dream and increasing our fear and sense of helplessness, to really take responsibility back to the mind and say, I have a different, there is peace within me. I could see peace instead of this, if I'm willing to go back to the mind, if I'm willing to choose a different teacher that sees this differently, that experiences it differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was thinking about a lesson number 5, which we go back to all the time. I'm never upset for the reason,
right?
I think. And I was thinking about it as you were talking, because it's easy. I mean, I even found myself saying, okay, CA, when your refrigerator goes out, that is not a big deal. There are people dying. You don't have any right to be upset.
Right. Here you go. Yeah.
But then I kind of stop and I say, what's really going on here? And I realize part of the absolute franticness is because it touches part of me that says, you're vulnerable,
yeah,
you're weak, you're not in control, you think you're controlling your universe, and you're not at all.
That's
And
right.
all these things, like for instance, if you'd ask me what's a perfect scenario, the perfect scenario would be I'd say, oh, well, I've got a couple extra $1,000 laying around and I could use a new refrigerator. I think I'll do some research. And after a couple of months of looking at every refrigerator possible, I would come to a nice decision, get the best price, and get a new refrigerator. So to have to get one on the spur of the moment, cut through all my little, you know, things about the way life has to be. This
right.
is how it has to be. And so, you know, no, I wasn't dying. No, I wasn't told that one of my family members was in the hospital. No, I wasn't under the kind of stress that you would think would really stress me out. But it was very stressful being faced with you are vulnerable, you're weak, you're not in control.
Right.
It's like, I don't like to look at that.
No.
So my upset was a whole lot more about needing, you know, than needing a refrigerator. It was,
it was
really getting real close to that place of understanding I'm not in control of my life.
Right, right. Yes, exactly. And really, you know, it's exactly what the coronavirus is getting us to confront, all of us to confront. You know, we're not in control.
Right.
We're completely out of control right now of this.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, there is so much humor in it. I mean, you know, and of course, people are really struggling with all the jokes, and I don't know if you're getting them, but I have a large family, and they are on this big chat chain, you know, or text chain, where they're constantly sending pictures and jokes, and yet, you know, I know they have to, really, because some of them are quite upset, but, you know, so much, I think what makes me laugh is every time I hear something on the news about how they think they can artificially put up some barrier, some defense, and the virus isn't going to cross it. And I'm talking mostly geographical ones. And it's like, okay, well, good luck with that, you know? And I mean, even weeks ago when states were saying, well, we don't have it in our state. And it's like, what? You think it's going to stop at the border? I mean, you know,
well,
it's
it
just...
is. Right, exactly. And I mean, it is really that, you know, it's interesting to watch the way we do. We try to separate, you know, the countries try to separate the states try to separate the counties, you know, counties were doing that, isolating, you know, towns back east. And so, I mean, that's a natural human response, but this is not something, you're right. I mean, it defies boundaries. It's in, and it also defies class and race, and,
age.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's not, it doesn't, doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter, you know, what your status is.
Yeah.
Everybody is, you know, in the same boat here, so to speak. And so that's terrifying too, because we think that we've built these, you know, I mean, what is the body from the course's perspective in that second part of the workbook in the, you know, where they have the definitions of, or the what is sections that are interspersed around different different lessons, you know, what, when it talks about what is the body, it says that the body is a fence that made to keep out love, that you made up to keep out love. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what it is. And so, and you know, we think, so our bodies themselves are borders that we made, that thinking that we can keep ourselves safe from God and each other, you know, and it's not true. I mean, it's not true at all, you know? And really there, you know, again, the body is only, has the only meaning the body has is the purpose that I give it. And, you know, I can give it the purpose of furthering the idea of separation, or I can give it the purpose of, you know, help lead me back as a communication device, you know, practicing forgiveness, using it as a classroom that helps lead me back to the mind, back to that quiet center of the mind, and helps me realize that I'm not really the body, but a decision-making mind that doesn't, you know, that just identified with made up a body and pretended that that's what it was, but that's not what it is, you know? So we really, this is an enormous learning opportunity for us, really. But boy, it's a challenging one, you know?
Yes, it is.
It's very challenging, but I think, you know, lessons like this are so helpful and lovely because, you know, we do need some comfort and we have to really, you know, we have to maybe use them in a way to go deeper with this and see, you know, this is a part of me. This is a part of my mind that I've shut out, that is really the only meaningful part of my mind. It's the part that I need that will help heal, you know, help with real healing and real safety and real protection. And, you know, I have to kind of be very humble as I admit that I'm, you know, I can't control anything. But I, you know, there is, I can control which teacher I'm choosing. And one, you know, choosing the ego is leading me is to an experience right now of hell. And choosing Jesus as my teacher can lead me to an experience of completely different and not of this world, you know,
mm-hmm.
and which is peaceful and which also sees everyone as fighting that same hard battle and has only compassion and true empathy is the way the Course phrases it. But, you know, to see my brother sinless, to see the world sinless, means I see it as suffering from the same mistake and choices I've made.
Yes. Well, in effect, that's one beautiful thing that comes into this lesson. Later on, here again, I took the numbers out of the paragraph, so I don't know what they are. It's okay. It's a second from the last one. It says, "You rest within the peace of God today and call upon your brothers from your rest to draw them to their rest along with you. You will be faithful to your trust today, forgetting no one."
Right.
Bringing everyone into the boundless circle of your peace, the holy sanctuary where you rest. Open the temple doors and let them come from far across the world and near as well, your distant brothers and your closest friends. Bid them all enter here and rest with you.
Yes.
And I love that because, you know, that is the first thing that, you know, when you call this a lesson, it truly is. I mean, it is such an incredible opportunity for us to look at, you know, our issues, to look at the way we divide the world and to see things like, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have closed our borders and said, oh, nobody from China can come in. But, you know, the first thing we do is we want to divide sides, you know, the red states,
right.
The blue states, the Republicans, the Democrats, the, you know, the Chinese or the Italians or whatever it is. We so quickly want to take sides. And
right.
Or, you know, everybody buying up the toilet paper at the grocery store.
Right.
I think that is an incredible psychological profile of Americans, truthfully. In fact, my nephew is living in Prague and he goes, you know, we just don't have that problem in the grocery stores.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I think that might be kind of an American thing, at least with the toilet paper. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just that, you know, once again, just continuing to look at that, what is it, you know, trying to control things or trying to, you know, I can make myself safe at the expense of another person. But, you know, if you look at it even in a bigger context of the world, now, once again, I'm not like trying to promote, yeah, we need to embrace the virus, but the virus is a life form that is trying to survive.
Right.
And it's in its heyday right now. It figured out how to move from the host of animals into people.
Right.
So you know what? I mean, in its group, it's celebrating right now.
Right.
It figured out how to, like, take over the world. And so once again, it's just that example of we are so quick to take sides. And once again, I'm not saying we should choose a virus over people, but you know, our world, we always find ways to choose up sides.
Right, right. And what an opportunity this is really to also to see that it doesn't, you know, we can join together. We don't have to be together as bodies. Bodies don't join.
Yes,
of course
that's
they.
A good, that is an
and,
excellent.
And, you know, we're really learning that because we're all in our little, you know, in our little shelters of some kind and social distancing. But at the level of the mind, we're not distant at all. And, you know, I think it's, I mean, I'm finding I'm in many ways, I'm reaching out to more friends
uh-huh.
than I normally do, you know, that I don't see a lot because I just, you know, I feel that connection. And I think that we really, you know, it's really important to look at that and see, you know, this is not, we're part of one decision-making mind, and we can make a choice for being loving. And my choice for being, you know, when I'm willing to do that, That does affect all minds. I mean, every mind is part of, you know, is part of the one decision making mind. And anytime we're willing to let our own selfishness go and you know, choose again to move into that quiet center, then we're demonstrating that same choice for everybody. You know?
Yes.
If there is peace there. Can I read paragraph
absolutely
paragraph
yeah.
before that? Which
yes.
would be a nice way to end, maybe. So this is paragraph 8. You rest within the peace of God today and call upon your brothers from your rest to draw them to their rest along with you. This isn't what you just read, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay.
So maybe we should read the last one then.
Okay, all right.
You rest within the peace of God today, quiet and unafraid. Each brother comes to take his rest and offer it to you. We rest together here, for thus our rest is made complete, and what we give today we have received already. Time is not the guardian of what we give today. We give to those unborn and those passed by, to every thought of God and to the mind in which these thoughts were born and where they rest. And we remind them of their resting place each time we tell ourselves, I rest in God.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I do. I love this lesson.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, I am kind of still back on that point that you were just making about, you know, reaching out to other people, because even though this isn't quite the same as being of one mind, I think it's interesting that in some ways I haven't heard from some of my family members as much in the last 5 years as I have in the last 5 days.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, it's not just a factor of everybody having more time. It really is a factor of everybody reaching out. Are you okay? Do you need anything?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, whether, and you know, I feel very fortunate also that in Colorado, we are a fairly active group, you know, lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, taking the dogs out for a walk now, I see almost every neighbor.
Right.
You know, and yep. I think I haven't had so much interaction. Of course, these are kind of long distance shouts across the street or something.
Right.
But it's so
feet,
much
but,
more
yeah.
interaction than I'm really used to, Susan.
Oh, I know. I agree. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very, you know, and of course, it's really, I mean, it's just heartwarming in some ways. And in a very genuine way, I do think that it's healing on a level. It certainly is giving us the opportunity to heal on a level that's so much deeper than we're aware of and really isn't about the body at all.
Right. It truly is.
So.
It is.
Yeah.
So, any other comments before we do a wrap on this?
I don't think so. I'm teaching my, if anybody's in Denver, I've moved my Tuesday night class a few weeks ago, a couple of maybe, I think this is this will be the third week, to Skype. So that's how we're doing it. And, you know, until we can meet again in person. So,
yeah.
And lots of people are doing that sort of thing.
Yes, they are. And in fact, I guess this is a personal note, but my mom often used to attend Susan's group. And she asked me like maybe 3 weeks ago, I don't know when you first did this, but she said,
yeah.
I can't figure out how to do this Skype thing with Susan. Will you help me? But that's when they pretty much locked Denver down.
Oh, yeah.
And plus, I felt like my parents are definitely, I mean, you know, my mom's 90 years
old.
And I thought, you know what, and she was okay with it. And I thought, you know, I can talk you through this on the phone maybe, but I really don't think I can come over and show you on
no,
your computer.
That's why.
So
yeah.
Hopefully she will get that together and join your group, because I know she was excited about the possibility of being
yes.
able to join that way. So it's
yeah,
going really well?
That.
It's going yeah. well?
Well, it's, you know, a lot of people... didn't have Skype, so they I mean, it's not going that great because for that very reason of people not figuring it out or, you know, whatever, but we have a few people, and so it's fine. Yeah.
Well, now, and tell me though, when you do it, and you're doing it on Skype, does that mean they can see you but you can't necessarily see all of them?
The weird thing about Skype is it doesn't so I start the meeting and I send people a link, but it usually then makes me small, and whoever comes in last, I don't know,
big.
Who comes in second is big.
Oh.
So it's not, yeah. But anyway, I, you know what, that's another great thing to just realize, that We're not bodies. It doesn't.
Right. It doesn't matter who's big.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yes. Interesting. Well, and you know, that's it. Our lives are going to be forever changed, which can be a very positive thing for us on multiple levels. And if nothing else, we are learning to do things. I'm trying to get a little more into Zoom. I really want to learn how to use Zoom. Mm-hmm. And, but I had some issues with trying to work that out, but I'll work them out. I mean, it's quite the learning curve for a lot of us for many things. And, you know, we're humans, we can adapt. And so we are going to adapt, but I hope that many of you will really turn to your spiritual connection, whether it's A Course in Miracles or something else, but certainly to lessons like this. Absolutely. And be able to pull them out and just know that, you know, when you're overwhelmed, there is this whole, in a sense, the sonship, whatever you want to call it. We're all in there together, and there's always going to be hope and help available to us.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So one thing I did want to ask you, though, is what if somebody who's listening to 1-2 Radio says, hey, I want to join Susan's group by Skype? They contact you through your
They should try to contact me through the website, through my website, www.4asinforgiveness.com.
Uh-huh.
And there's a contact information on there and a contact email, and they can email me. And, you know, they would need to have Skype set up and tested, but they should email me first, and I'll see, you know, what if they have where they're coming from. And,
if that's something, And I know that you've been going through the text, and you're like on chapter 30 or 31.
We're on chapter 31. We're getting
you're getting close.
With the text. We're going to keep moving on through the manual and the clarification of terms and all of that. And then once we get through that, we'll keep the class going. It may go back to the format of whatever, you know, text, workbook, whatever seems to be speaking to me at the time. I haven't decided yet, but it will continue.
Okay. So if you're interested in her group that's now on Skype, you don't have to live in Denver, Colorado to participate, then go to her website. I will put it in the chat room, but it's www.4asinforgiveness.com, and 4as is Forays. And like I said, I'll put that in the chat room. So, Susan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
It was. And I really did want to hear what you had to say about Lesson 109. So thank you for indulging me. Because
I'm glad you suggested it. It's a great lesson.
It really is. And I just enjoy it so much. And I enjoy doing this show and having our discussion. So thank you so much for joining me today. And for everybody in the chat room and those of you who are listening either live or you're listening to this as an encore, please, accept my thanks. I'm really thankful that you're sharing this space with us. And it's timelessness. So it doesn't really matter when you're sharing this space with us. So, I would encourage you to keep it tuned to 1-2 Radio. Up next is Kathleen Peterson and Friends. You can also find me for personal readings and sessions and consultations over on 1-2listen.com. So I would highly encourage you to do that. And through the month of April, we are doing what we were doing in March, which is we have specific hours Monday through Friday that we are calling Sanctuary, where the prices are significantly dropped on 1-2listen. And let's see if I can get this right. It's 5 to 9 a.m. and p.m. That's Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And of course, on Sunday, we always have Psychic Sunday, so the prices are already on sale. And we tend to, you know, celebrate those full moons, new moons, and when the planets are doing something very specific. So you'll see additional sales as well. But please come find us during Sanctuary hours. I am trying to hit as many of those as I can. Quite honestly, I have dogs and I like to walk them in the morning. So trying to hit that 5 to 9 in the morning is a little bit more difficult for me. But I still try to get in on the tail end of it, and I certainly am trying to hit as many of those evening Sanctuary hours as I can. So there again, that's 5 to 9 in the evening, Monday through Friday. But you know, as always, if you want to talk to me or you want to talk to somebody else on 1-2listen, one of the other advisors, we have a system by which you can message us, and you can request a scheduled call at a certain time, or you can simply let us know what is good for you and when you'd like to connect. And most of us are more than willing to bend over backwards to make that happen. So I would encourage you to use that and just let me know when you want to talk, if there's something on your mind or something in your heart. Now, here's another announcement I want to make sure that we say before we go today, and that is Mark Husson is back. He is starting another radio show. He is going to be on Tuesday evenings. Now, what's really wonderful now, too, is that he is going to be joined by two other advisors, two returning hosts. So Christina LaFrance is coming back, as is Melissa Fry. Okay, and if I've got this right, you might want to check out the schedule on 12radio.com. But Christina LaFrance is coming back at 4 p.m. Pacific time. She's followed by Mark at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And then it's Melissa at 6. So that's going to be great on Tuesday afternoons, Tuesday evenings. We have some opportunity to have some live radio here on 12radio. So thanks again for joining me today. And I hope you will keep it tuned for Kathleen Peterson and Friends. And I would just remind you to stay informed, stay safe, and spread hope. It's contagious. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles here on 12radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world.
When you call an advisor 12Listen, you find the best psychic advisors, mediums, and sage advice on the planet. My name is Kay Dragon, and I'm proud to say that I have been with this group for 10 years. I'm here to support you and intuit and give you the information that your higher self and guide so lovingly wants to share with you. So give me a call or a chat. I'm here for you. And thank you for listening to 12Radio, where we are changing the way that you listen to the world.